Hi, and welcome to another Manipod podcast. Today, we have the world's strongest man. Literally, Mitchell the Moose Hooper is our guest today. And Mitchell won last year the Arnold and multiple events last year, which made him the world's strongest man. He's also going to be a father in about, 10 days? His first child. So welcome, Mitchell. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Yeah.
You're hanging in there, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I've got 20 years till menopause hits me. So it's good to be playing this early.
You never know.
So that makes you 28. So Mitchell, you're in Canada. You are in 2016. I saw a picture of you where you were super thin. I would even say skinny, but you still had a six pack. You were in really, really good shape. How much did you weigh in that picture?
I weighed around 195 pounds in that, but 16 months before I weighed 305. So I lost a heap of weight going into a men's physique show, which for those who don't know what it is, it's basically bikini for men.
Okay. And you lost it.
Judge here.
Were you heavy? I mean, that's heavy, but were you like out of shape, 300 pounds, or were you in shape, but you wanted to get trim?
It was post football. So I played football at 240 in college and then quit and put on a bunch of weight, not good weight. And so I wasn't out of shape. I went to the gym every day, but I was eating horribly, visually definitely out of shape, and definitely muscle mass was that of a 240-pound person. I just grew to a little bit more than that.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's pretty common among athletes is when they stop competing, they continue sometimes to eat at the same level that they needed to eat at when they were working out. It's particularly common among like gymnasts and stuff. And so there is that sort of rise that before the fall of putting on not good pounds. And then depending on how motivated you are, you lose them and get back into shape and stuff. But so what motivated you to try to win this world's strongest man competition?
Well, all the way back to 2016, that was towards the end of my undergraduate degree. Then I worked in professional sport as a strength and conditioning coach for a pro basketball team. When I did that, I didn't have the impact that I was hoping to have. And I thought going to the clinical side would be more useful, talking about people who have chronic injuries, conditions, complications. And when I decided that I was going to make that jump, then I went from trying to be the best, have the best knowledge base of someone who wants to be in high performance to someone with the best knowledge base of someone who works in clinical settings. And I'm very much of the opinion that if you're going to do that, you don't have to be like those people, but you certainly have to find a way to relate. My way to relate was lose a bunch of weight and try to do a physique. Now I know what it's like to lose a lot of weight. It was go for push your aerobic fitness. And I did 3 marathons, and then it was push your strength and get as strong as you can. And that just happened to get me to World's Strongest Man.
Yeah, because you have a master's degree in exercise physiology, which I'm sure worked to your benefit to understand how muscles work and how they grow and the right way to do it versus the wrong way.
Yeah, in ways it did and in ways it didn't. You know, it helps me a lot with things like medications and contraindications to exercise and how medications impact responses to exercise, which people over 50, the average number of medications in North America is over 2. And the majority of people over 50 have more than one chronic condition, even if you maybe don't identify as that. Personally, I have high blood pressure that's managed, and I have sleep apnea, obviously both related to my size, but I fall in the category of someone with 2 chronic conditions, despite being otherwise generally healthy. And we can't forget that. We can't ignore that. So I learned how to deal with those people. And honestly, I probably learned more with practical experience with a general understanding of the body than I did at university. In fact, not that it's totally relevant to people in your demographic, but maybe for their kids. I found as an entrepreneur now with 10 employees across 2 operating businesses, I found it to be the least inspiring time of my life, and I probably wouldn't recommend it to people who want to go the entrepreneurial route. Maybe only if you're a doctor or something where it requires a formal education is that most useful. But yeah, I mean, I like to nerd out about stuff. I like to learn as much as I can. And anytime I don't know something, it sort of just grinds at me, and it's an obligation to go find out why you don't know it and what the truth is.
Wow. Well, you and I are friends prior to this Manipod podcast, but we shared some special events just a couple weeks ago where you were kind enough to come out from Canada and join us for the Martini, what we call the Quaketini Challenge. And so we're going to show a clip of that right now first, and then I want to talk to you about that. So hang on. We've decided to bring the strongest man in the world, Mitchell Hooper, also known as the Moose, to challenge me in the Martini Quaketini Challenge. Make sure his is really full.
Oh, I won every major competition this year, and I'm considering this my fourth.
Here we go. Oh, I think I'm winning. Oh, shoot. Oh, shoot. What Cheers. You won.
You think?
Cheers. Now we get to go drink these. Yes. Okay, we're back. That is pretty funny. I mean, that was great. I really enjoyed that. And you were kind enough to beat me in that. But I do want to tell a little story. Yes, I did. I paid for your charity. You asked me to donate to the YMCA, which I did. But you didn't make this, you didn't say this to anybody other than me, but I am going to tell this. As we were walking back across the street, you said, "You know what? I'm also going to give to your charity, Children of Grace." So I really appreciate that. And that says a lot for you. So thank you.
Yeah, well, look, I think when we're, I mean, we'd be in similar positions where you've got money to support yourself, money to support your family, and you don't have the food, water, shelter concerns anymore. And the obligation and stress I feel after that isn't really a problem is actually higher than when it was. You know, it's a very digestible problem, but when you're able to have an impact on the world and you're able to have a platform and have there's some money to put places where it can do some good. It's a big stress of mine to think, how can you leave the world a better place than you found it? Because really, this is all we got.
So, here you are competing to be the world's strongest man. I think whether you're a marathoner or a weightlifter or almost anything in life, but particularly when it comes to physical activity, how much, in your opinion, because I have an opinion on it, how much, in your opinion, is it mind over matter? In other words, do you have to be in the right mindset to become a winner?
You have to be in the right mindset to not be a loser. And in that, I mean, I think a loser is someone who doesn't push themselves to be the best version of themselves. And if you had the mindset today of I want to be the world's strongest man, you did the same training, ate the same food, you're not going to be, right? I'm lucky to have the genetics that I could expose to be world's strongest man, which very few people do, but probably more than you would think. There's probably 500 people on the planet with my genetics, or if they put their mind to it and they worked hard, that they would be able to accomplish something that great. But I think putting your goals in context is really important, and being in the frame of mind of trying to be the best version of yourself is really important, because that's an accomplishable goal where you can do a lot. And part of why I like to talk about when I did marathons and talk about that, I went from that and bodybuilding, world's strongest man, all different things, and I have a lot of larger goals after strongman. Is that I'm genetically gifted in strongman, yes, but I'm not genetically gifted to run marathons. But I was still in the top 8% of my age division when I ran, and top 5% of all finishers. And I won't be genetically gifted to do Ironmans, but you put your mind to it, and you can accomplish some incredible things if you just try. You're not going to be world champion. Don't worry about what the result is related in relation to other people, but it takes a mindset, and that's it, to become the best version of yourself for sure.
You also mentioned to me that when you won, you may not have been the strongest, but you were the smartest as well. You read the rules And that makes a big difference when you're competing, is understanding maybe what your competitors don't understand. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, being the number one strongman in the world doesn't make you the strongest man in the world. They just have the trademark to the title, the one show does. And there are people who are stronger. There are people who could deadlift more, people who could squat more. But putting it all together is what's really important. And the way that our shows are structured, if you come first in a 10-man show, you get 10 points. You come second, you get 9, so on and so forth. And you'll come across guys who are heads better than you at certain events, but are not as good at others. And you could hold back 20% of the effort and only lose 1 point to save the energy to gain 3 or 4 points down the track. So on the surface, it seems like a bit of a meathead sport, but it really isn't. For those who are at the top, you really know what's going on. The execution of that's really important. And very few of us are lucky enough to take advantage of the strategy and that, because you have to be well-rounded to have the strategy. And just, you know, little things. I think if I'm thinking back to my formal education, that's probably the only way that it's helped me in my current job is, well, I got sent assignments at 8 p.m. and I had to read them at 6 a.m. before class started. So you sort of revert back to that, make sure you understand things really well. And then it's a physical and a mental exam by the time you get to the competition floor.
So the strongman competition is it structured like a decathlon kind of thing, where it's not just one thing that determines if you win?
That's right. Yeah, it's a good way to put it. The World's Strongest Man competition itself, the one that how you guys know me, that is, they invite the top 30 of the world out. They put us into 5 groups of 6. The top 2 from each group go through to the finals, reset points. Top 10 then go and do another 6 events, and that determines the ultimate winner.
What are some of the events?
This year at World's Strongest Man, we did we pulled a city bus, and that's a distance for time, 30 meters for time. We did a 800-pound deadlift for reps. We did a single-arm dumbbell lift overhead. So you get it to your shoulder, you got to pop it up. I did 309 pounds there. It's Atlas stones, the big concrete spherical balls, you would know. That was up to 460 pounds in a run of 5, and you do that for time. That was the final. Oh, and then we had a shield carry. We had 460-pound shield. You hold that in your arms, it rests against your body, and you walk as far as possible. Longest distance wins. It really is. The thing, though, about how this relates most to your audience and how this relates to what I do at the clinic, and it's really serendipity. I didn't really plan for this to happen, but in strongman, the movements that we do are push, pull, hinge, squat, overhead press, and carry. That's every event that we do, and that is everyday life for other people. So while I might be trying to be world champion, you take 20% off of my intensity, and that's a pretty good foundation for how every person should be training.
Yeah, so for you know, to relate this to our audience, which is going to be mostly men over 50, but quite a few women as well. For guys that, in particular, who maybe used to work out and then life got in the way and they gained some weight and now they're beginning to think about retiring, but they want to get back in shape and not only for looking better, but for physiological health and that sort of thing. And they come to your clinic, say, I mean, what sort of advice would you give them in terms of how to start? You know, what's good, what's bad in terms of what they do, and you know, what should their ultimate goal be? I mean, they're not going to compete against you. What would be a reasonable goal for them to think about?
It's a great question, and it really has to be broken down as simply as possible, because in the end, when you're 50, 60, 70, you sort of have to hang up the sexy hat and go, okay, even if I get thin, that means I'm going to get extra wrinkly. And okay, so let's just put that hat off to the side. Let's go, what are our actual goals? And for most people, their goal is to have their health span match their lifespan. It's a fallacy to think that most people want to live as long as possible. They don't. Most people just want to live healthy as long as possible. And once health is done, they're done. They literally want to die. People tell me that on a monthly basis. Like I just keep waking up, right? And so if our goal is to have health span last as long as possible, when it comes to lifestyle, all we're talking about is diet and exercise. Now, if we just put diet to the side for a second, because that's a major challenge when you're living your golden years. You don't want your golden years to be filled with salad and whatnot. And of course you have to eat a reasonable diet, but the physiological benefits you can get from movement, regardless of diet, is incredible. If we talk about visceral fat mass and the research around movement and losing visceral fat, which is the fat around your organs, it's incredibly powerful. When they do research and they do only diet studies, they'll lose weight and fat. They don't lose visceral fat. When they do the opposite and they have them exercise, but they don't have them diet, they lose visceral fat, but they don't lose total body fat. So with the innate understanding that just getting moving is going to have profound positive consequences on every element of your health. The reason that most people die, we could say it's accidental injuries. That's number four in Canada. And that's usually from falling and breaking a hip. Well, bone density is a major benefit, and preventing the loss of bone density as hormones change as you get older, major benefit. But we talk about vascular health, cerebrovascular health, the dynamics that we can get from temporarily increasing blood pressure and improving the efficiency of the heart is incredible. And the likelihood of your blood to clot is so much lower when we're controlling for exercise. When we talk about diabetes, having higher muscle mass or even exercising in the first place, we have a 48-hour response of regulating blood glucose after we're moving. You're very, very unlikely to get diabetes when you're muscular. I say that I have a condition called strongman-induced hypoglycemia because I just get the blood, the glucose sucked out of my blood that if I'm not eating, I'll get a little bit weak. And so if we just say, okay, movement is going to help you in every possible measurable way for your health, then we say, well, now we get to what movements do we choose? And this is number one, first base camp is move, right? Move, I don't care how. And by the way, there are many more good ways to do an exercise than you would think. Good is all relative and mostly bullshit by people who are trying to make money. So let's move first. Second is, what are the movement patterns of life? And movement patterns of life are hinge, picking stuff up off the ground, squatting, overhead pressing, push, pull, and carry. Can you do those six things? As we get older, oftentimes reaching above our head becomes more of a challenge. There are physiotherapists and physical therapists who will say after 50, don't reach over your head because of the risk of shoulder injury. Well, could you say something stupider? Because like who lives in a hobbit house where everything's below them, right? So we need to be good, strong, and competent overhead. And then we just generally train those movements. And if we're doing that, then, I mean, great. We're ticking the boxes. You're going to be resilient to injury. You're going to improve your health. Your hormone profile will be retained better than someone who doesn't move and train. And the consequences to that down the track are profound and dramatic.
Wow. You know, Larry, let me see you put your hands over your head. Go ahead, Larry. Oh, see, you're already failing. Hobbit.
I can only get them this high for some reason. I don't know why, but and you know, just to kind of add to what you've said, which actually sounded like a college course, is we know for sure that building muscle really strengthens the immune system. And that's one thing now with all of the illnesses going around, the respiratory illnesses and stuff like that. You know, the more you can build up your immune system and like I said, building muscle mass, not your muscle mass, but just muscle mass in general, really strengthens the immune system. And that's extremely important for people as they get into their 60s and 70s.
Yeah, and yeah. Look, you're never going to accidentally become like me. If you drive a car, you're not worried about turning into Michael Schumacher, right? It's the exact same thing. You could try as hard as you can to train as hard as you can. That should be your only goal. And the research is actually incredible now when it comes to resistance training versus aerobic training. It's sort of getting to the point where it's a wash for cardiovascular health, for diabetic prevention, for everything across the board. And a lot of men would look at going for a run and like, I don't really want to go for a run. Be like, could you pick it up? Could you pick that up? You're like, fuck, that's like, it gets us back to like who we are when we're 15. You're like, hell yeah. And then if you could start thinking that way, then psychologically you're going to be better as well.
Right, right.
Just to show another clip, because this is kind of funny, but it shows your strength. I mean, when we called you and asked you to do an event for us, we said, yeah, you're going to pull a big truck, an earthquake simulator. And you go, well, how much does it weigh? And we said, 27,000 pounds. You go, oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. So we said, oh, it's nothing. So we added three more people at the tail end of it, pulling against you. And so we want to show this clip of you pulling this truck with the other guys pulling against you. So watch this. Whoa. Amazing, right, Larry?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a hard enough time opening the door, much less pulling the trunk. I mean, that's just again, that's not something that we should be aspiring to. We should be amazed by it, but it's just an example, I think, of what the human body is capable of when you focus on certain goals and activities. And people can see that you're eating right now to make sure you don't pass out during the podcast, which is great. I mean, you got to feed the beast, right?
But if you're someone
Oh.
out there, say you're someone over 50, your audience, you're out there and you're thinking like, oh, maybe I'm not that strong, right? Maybe I'm not that capable. Go on a flat road, take the biggest car in your household, put it in neutral on a flat road, and go push it. And I 100% promise you, anyone listening to this podcast can make a car go, can push a car. And it's a phenomenal workout. It's a great strongman workout, but you're capable of a lot more than you think you are. And as soon as you put those limits on yourself, your physical quality is going to degrade to what you believe you can do.
Well, I mean, it's crazy.
What are you eating, by the way? What is that?
I got chicken dumplings here right now. Usually this is my chicken and rice meal, but I've been losing a little bit of weight and I got to put some on for the Arnold. So, I mean, 10 o'clock is, or 12:30 is my second lunch. 10 o'clock is my first lunch. I'll give you a quick little synopsis. I put on the in prep mode. This is how I structure my days. These are daily alarms that all of those are something, whether it's eating, training. After eating, I need to go do some movement to help the digestion process. After training, I need my proper cool down. I got my physio, I got my whole bunch of different things on top of that.
Are there bathroom breaks scheduled in there too?
No, there's just one in the morning to put on a diaper.
Well,
Over you would know that.
yeah, that's right.
We all do
Oops.
now.
Oh, I
That's
forgot
right.
mine. Oh no.
Hey, you
So
know, one thing that we always ask our guests that we like to we will expose later, but everybody has a favorite curse word. What is Mitchell Hooper's favorite curse
all
word?
right. Well, I need a caveat before this. So I lived in Australia for 4.5 years. Culture over there is different. And over there, when you say mate, it's usually a bad thing, right? If you're talking to about someone that you don't know, or to a friend, sorry. If you say cunt, it's someone who you know, who you get along with, and like that's a good cunt. And so I have to say cunt. I have to work it out of my vocabulary in North America. But just a word, like if there's a word for me, you're like the one that holds the most power, that could drive the most emotion in people. You're like, yeah, that I have to.
How did
How
they
about
take
we?
that in Canada, by the way, when you say
No, not good. No.
Same thing here in the States. Yeah, that's not a good, that's the C word that you don't want to use. Yeah.
Right.
That's good. We haven't heard that one yet. So, well, this has been great. I mean, you're a fascinating guy. You're obviously highly motivated, and it's a good example, again, no matter what age you are, that you set your goals and you do what you have to do to get there. And that it alone is going to be inspirational. But the idea that all of us can work towards getting into better shape, living better, longer lives, that are meaningful, I think is great. So, congratulations on your upcoming baby,
Yeah.
and good luck in the Arnold. I'm sure you're going to kick butt in that, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Right. And if you want to buy any of your products, your shirts and other apparel, we're gonna put it on the screen below you where people can go buy that. And I know I'm in the waiting list on your website right now. I'm in the cart. So I wanted to talk to you about that after. So we'll talk to you soon. And this has been great, Mitchell. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, guys.
And good
Look,
luck.
friends, it has nothing to do with me. Lift Heavy Be Kind. We donate back to independently owned gyms, trying to do something good for the community. And if we could get people looking like me, looking like you, everyone wearing this apparel and making more people comfortable to get out and get moving, that's going to accomplish my life goal much more than winning World's Strongest Man will.
Great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks.